Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, November 19th, 2015. And with me today, Kelly Goumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm all right. And I'm glad you're here. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be on the show with Kelly. This is great.
I'm excited we're all here, too. It's always fun when I get to do a show where it's the three of us. So, yeah, I'm glad you guys are both here. Okay, now, as long as we're here, and I know that getting all of us to stop talking is really difficult, so we just need to jump right into topics. John, yesterday, you offered up the world a strategy. And by the world, what I really mean is Apple's competitors. You offered them up a strategy on how they can compete with Apple and Apple's, as you put it, relentless change.
Yeah, that's an idea that had been percolating in my head for a long time, and yesterday seemed to be a good day to kind of let it loose. And that is, the readers send me feedback, and over the years I've discovered that it's hard to keep up. You know, as writers, even we on the staff, we don't know everything about everything. We specialize. And we throw ourselves on our swords for the sake of the readers from time to time, enthusiastically, with glee, and write about it. But it seems like we know everything about everything, but we really don't. Not one individual, anyway. And the readers, who have their work to do and their families and their jobs, must feel, and they often tell me they are, overwhelmed by the pace of change and by all the technologies that Apple throws at them. And this is just part of what Apple does. They're a big company. They're a consumer electronics giant. They're growing. And they have to compete against other companies who are trying to find holes in their infrastructure and leverage off of Apple's innovations and sort of, you know, get into part of the game. So you have all this fuss and all this activity and all this business activity and products being thrown at us almost constantly. And it seems to conflict with the enduring human desire for simplicity and productivity and consistency. And so I kind of waxed philosophical in this article and talked about the strategy. Yeah, this is what Apple has to do, and it's all things to all customers. And at any given time, there are lots of different Apple customers doing lots of different things. And because our social media is so good and our communication is so good, we're all is in touch with people who are doing individual things. And it kind of feels to us like everybody all the time is doing everything, but they really aren't and they really shouldn't be. And so I put it in the context of, you know, you can't absorb everything that Apple's doing, and you have to have some sort of strategy. And not only a strategy, but, you know, some personal values about living your life. So it's towards the end of the article I talked about, you know, whether it's volunteer work or church work or activities that you're engaged in with people or helping family or friends or doing woodworking or creating music or doing something productive or being a writer. You've got to sort of set a standard for, you know, what you want to achieve and the productivity and your goals in life. And your technology should support that. I mean, you should pick and choose the best tools. And this is basically what Apple's been saying all along. Even though they throw a lot of stuff at you, the message from Apple behind the scenes is that we create things for you to be creative and productive with. And so instead of trying to do everything and being frustrated by the fragility and the complexity of things, you know, we're all frustrated by things that go wrong. You install a new operating system, things go snafu, your email isn't working right, your calendars don't get updated, or there's some sort of problem and you have to reinstall some stuff, or there's a certificate lapse by Apple and your apps won't launch. You know, if you get locked up in trying to get everything perfect and do everything, you just get frustrated. But if you focus on something that you think is valuable and worth doing, and you use it, pick and choose the best technologies that Apple offers to help you achieve those goals, then hopefully the frustration goes away and you can focus on being productive with the tools you choose to use, the best of them. Well, that was the gist of the article. I got a very heartwarming email from a minister who said, yeah, right on, nailed it, John.
Which is awesome. And it's nice to know, first, that people read your pieces, but then second, that what you're saying resonates with them. So that's really cool. And so what I'm getting out of this is that you're saying that maybe there's a problem that I have 3 Macs, 2 iPhones, an iPod Touch, and 3 iPads sitting on my desk right now.
Well, yeah, but you're an expert, and you can deal with it. I in the article I mentioned, you know, a family where the husband and wife have an iPad, and they've got multiple kids, and they've got hand-me-down iPhones, and all of a sudden Apple comes out with a new operating system, and maybe the dad has an Apple Watch, or they bought a new iPhone 6S, and they've got to delicately walk through, you know, the backing up, the unpairing of their watch from the phone, buying the new phone, backing up to the Mac or the cloud, taking care that it's an encrypted process so that their passwords are preserved, then restoring from their phones and getting the operating system updated and doing this amongst all the family devices, and then the snafus that inevitably happen. You can waste a lot of time doing that stuff, and it can be very frustrating unless there's a larger goal at stake in the process, because you just can't treat technology as its own end.
Oh, no. I have a feeling there are some people that will totally disagree with you. And I'm not arguing with you. I'm just pointing out that I think there are people out there that the technology is the end for them. That's what they want.
That's what I'm warning against. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what, as you said, unpair your Apple Watch. I thought, oh, yeah, there's an Apple Watch on my desk. And then I look over. In addition to my Apple Watch, there are 4 other smartwatches sitting on my desk right now. And I think you're right that I can get away with this because this is my job.
Right. We do it 10 hours a day. We were born knowing all this stuff.
Yeah. And I'm also okay letting an iPad sit on my desk unused long enough that it collects dust because it's not the tool that I need in that moment. And there are times where my iPod Touch, which is my iOS beta testing device, where I won't need to be doing any beta testing, and I'll pick it up, and the battery's dead because I haven't used it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm walking a very fine line because I have piles of tech gear around me right now, and I haven't let it completely consume me, or at least that's how I perceive it. And since you guys are on the outside, what do you think? Have I let it consume me?
You still post pictures of hikes, and I know that you tend to leave the house on a sometimes more than once a day. So I'm going to say you're probably all right. I don't think it's winning at the moment.
Okay. I think you're okay, too. Okay. Yeah, we relish our weekends.
I do. I do enjoy going out and hiking and riding my bike and doing things where I will still be incorporating the technology I have and sometimes getting frustrated, like if I'm trying to compare data between my Fitbit and my Apple Watch and realizing my Apple Watch decided it wasn't on my wrist anymore. And then I'm saying things on a trail where some mom walks past and she goes, my kids are with me. And yeah. All right, John, so how much tech do you have on your desk?
Quite a bit. 4K display that it's on loan from Hewlett Packard for review. An SSD driver, too. An iPhone 6S. An iPad Pro. iPad Mini 3. Apple Watch. A couple Thunderbolt hubs.
Oh, nice. Mm. Yeah. And of course, this is your job, so...
It's my job.
Yeah. How about you, Kelly?
Gosh, I have my laptop and display. I have a Mac Mini. I have a Nexus 7 tablet, second generation, sitting behind me. I have a Windows computer. I have a couple of bonus keyboards. Couple of iPods. My phone is actually sitting on my desk at the moment instead of in my pocket. So I think I'm with you guys. Like, I also think that people who tend to be more involved in technology, at least in my experience, tend to be more clear about the line between on and off. So I can go all weekend and never open Twitter. You know,
excellent.
I can, and yes. never, you know, not read a single email because I'm doing other stuff. And that's just how it is. And it seems to me that the people who really value that are the people who are sort of extra connected the rest of the time. Like if I'm offline, I'm offline.
That's so, a really good point and a really good observation.
That seems to be, to me, that seems to be the people who are the most sort of aggressively disconnected. Like, and part of that, I think, at least for me, has to do with where I live, because there are areas not far from where I live where reception is crap. So if I was relying, it's part of the reason that I never went to the iTunes Match or the cloud music stuff, because there are places that I go on a pretty regular basis where I wouldn't be able to stream anything. It's that simple.
For 23 years, I used skiing as my respite.
Yeah. You know,
there's nothing like being on top of a mountaintop with ice crystals in your face and being able to see 75 miles and snow-capped peaks and then pushing your skis off a cliff and heading down a mountain at 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's how I spend Christmas Day.
Takes your mind off of everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's beautiful and wonderful.
Not to mention the exercise and the glorious eating afterwards to replenish
yes.
yourself.
And you may be using your phone or some, you know, or your watch or some device to track, like, I skied this many miles today, like if you're doing cross country or something, but you're not like opening Facebook in the middle of the mountain. You know, and that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Like Jeff was saying, like, you know, Jeff is using his Fitbit and his watch and his phone to track like how long the hike was or how long the bike ride was, and not necessarily for like, oh, let me go text somebody because I'm bored right now. And I think that that's missing from a lot of people's tech experience. And so, like, I'm the first person to whip out my phone and take a picture of anything, but I'm also the first person to put it down and just enjoy the thing I'm in the middle of too.
Cool.
That's awesome.
As it should be.
All right. Yeah. So, listeners, I'm curious, what do you do to keep yourself from becoming so buried under all your technology where that becomes just your entire life? What are the things that you guys are doing to get those breaks that you need or want from just the technological onslaught? Let me know. I'm curious. You can let me know on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me emails at observations@macobserver.com. And you can also leave comments on the show notes. I'm curious because, you know some of the things I do. You have some ideas about what John and Kelly do. And now I want to know what you guys do. So please let me know. All right, now before we hop on to the next thing, I want to let everyone know that you can help support Mac Observer by buying stuff, because that's actually kind of ironic that I would suggest, hey, why don't you go buy some tech gear when we just talked about how to take a break from your tech gear.
Well, but we do have a big shopping season coming.
We do, and there are going to be plenty of opportunities to buy things for yourself. Or for other people, well, you know, however you roll.
Singles Day is over.
For some people, Singles Day is an opportunity every single day. But the point is, if you go to macobserver.com/Apple Store, you can then link into the Apple Store or several other retailers that we have deals with, where you buy your stuff. And then we get a little bit of money as a thank you from them for directing you their way. And then that money we use to make sure that shows like this stay on the air, and that articles that I write, and John and Kelly and Brian and Dave and now Peter Cohen, he's doing some writing for us too. All the people that are writing for us, their pieces get to be online for you. So,
and let me point out, it doesn't cost anymore if you do this.
That's true. All you have to do is go to macobserver.com/AppleStore, and there'll be links there for Apple and MacMall and Amazon, and that's all I can remember off the top of my head. But anyhow, go there, check it out, and make some purchases and help support us, and we totally appreciate it because you guys rock. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about today before we wrap up, yesterday I had Adam Christensen from the MacCast on the show because Adam and I both have Apple Pencils. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about those, and John was on the show too, so we could talk about keyboards. But one thing we didn't talk about is you get yourself an Apple Pencil. How do you carry it with you? And I know some people would say, I'll just put it in my pocket, but what if you're not wearing pants? So Kelly,
as one is wont to do.
This is a more common issue than people would probably think, and maybe it's just more common again because I live here, but yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think it's any secret that I'm not wearing pants. Anyhow, Kelly, yesterday you put together a list of some ideas on ways to carry your Apple Pencil, which I'm betting would work with any other stylus. Or if you're someone like me that is kind of a stylus junkie,
yeah,
you could carry several styluses together.
Now, there were a couple of options that will hold more than one item. And the reason that this came to me is because I'm sort of a wannabe notebook person. So I have fountain pens and notebooks. I use them pretty regularly. And so Adam was saying, I really wish there was a convenient way to carry this around. And I went, oh, well, what about this? Because it's a loop that you put around the cover of your notebook that has it's like an elastic sort of strap, and you slide that on the cover of a notebook, and then you can put a pen in it. And that way you
it's
keep
like
your pen with your notebook.
It's like a bandolier for a notebook.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I went, yeah, but you know, it seems like it would be big enough. You could put it on the cover of an iPad. And so I found a few of those because there were a couple I have enjoyed. And then I will say it was a little bit hard to find some alternates because I was looking for people who had already designed something to do this. I figured by now, because everybody had known about the Apple Pencil for long enough, that this would be a solve-ed problem. And you get some weird results when you type in Apple Pencil case into Google and look for products.
Understanding the vast expanse that is the internet.
Yes.
I can imagine some of the results you found were so not exactly what you were expecting.
Yeah, a swing and a miss. And the other thing, of course, is that this is Apple taking a page from Microsoft's book, where Microsoft named their word processing program Word and made it virtually impossible to search for answers when you have trouble. Calling it Apple Pencil also made it virtually impossible to search. So I found a few things that will fit larger notebooks. I actually have two of these loop style items. One of them will hold two pens, and one of them will hold six. And it will hold, I think it's six, and it will hold them, the sixer will hold them horizontally. Like down the front of the cover. The reason this is interesting is because it's also meant to hold like a glue stick. So it probably, if you have the case for the Apple Pencil and that's how you want to carry it around, it would probably fit in this. And the other one I thought was sort of interesting was this pencil case that I think is very, very cool, just for pencils, even before you get to anything interesting. And that's the Neocrits Transformer pencil case. There's a Mead version that I don't remember what it's called, but you can find that on Amazon pretty easily. When you unzip it, one end of it sort of solidifies. You peel the top half back, and it sort of becomes like a pencil cup instead of a pencil case. And then all you have to do is zip it up, and you can take it with you. And that seemed like a really good way to carry around your Apple Pencil with the charger to go with it or the cable. in case you do need to carry that around with you as well. This seemed like a really handy way to do it. So there's definitely some options out there. You just sort of have to pay attention to the notebook folks, because this is a problem that a lot of notebook people have already solved.
And with the design of the Apple Pencil, it is from an aesthetic standpoint, it is just a tube. So the various holders that have already been developed for a pencil or a pen will very likely work with Apple Pencil, because there aren't any weird things sticking off of it, and there aren't any lumpy angles and stuff. It's just a little tube.
You know,
We
haven't mentioned the unmentionable, Kelly.
And that is?
Well, any other company.
Do you want a shoulder holster for your Apple Pencil?
Any other company on the planet for all time would have created an iPad Pro with a little holder built in, where you drop the pencil in and it's hidden, and then you pop the pencil out when you're ready to use it. And so it's always there. But Apple is a company that says, no, we're not going to sell our beautiful iPad Pro with a hole where you can slide the Apple Pencil in and have it, you know, tucked away nicely. No, we're not going to do that. It's you're on your own to figure out where you're going to keep your pencil. And I think that's interesting.
It totally makes sense to me, because if you built a silo into the iPad Pro, you would lose the smooth look that device has.
Yeah.
And it would also have to be a lot thicker, because the pencil compared to the iPad Pro, well, actually, the pencil's thicker than the iPad Pro. But then
it would be a weird bump down the side.
Yes, but it also sends a message. If you put a silo on the iPad Pro, which you're telling consumers is that you need to have an Apple Pencil to use this device. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. You do not need to buy an Apple Pencil.
That's right. That's an important message that Apple needs to convey. Good point, Jeff.
Yeah. So it would be nice if there was a convenient way to attach an Apple Pencil to iPad Pro. And I know people are working on ideas. And in the meantime, I like the idea of like a case to carry the Apple Pencil and some other styluses, because I am a multi-stylus kind of guy.
Yes. So you totally need to look at the Neocrits Transformer.
Looking at the photo, to me, it looks sort of like a Venus flytrap for styluses.
It kind of is.
Is that spring-loaded at the bottom, so when you zip it closed, it stays closed, but when you unzip it, it spring-loads? To create the stable base? Is that how it works?
It's not Boba Fett's backpack. No, it's just solid on that one end. So it's got some structure on that side of the case. Oh, and then the other side of the case is sort of soft.
Okay.
So they're super cool, though. And if you have like a... I'm sure that there are other interesting ones that you can get. If there's a Kinokuniya bookstore in your area, that's probably another really good place to look for stuff like this.
Yes. If you're around Boulder, there's some really neat shops on Pearl Street Mall. And the one that I like is Two Hands. It's a paper store, and they have a great selection of pens and cases and stuff. And I'd also recommend checking out Jet Pens online.
Oh, Jet Pens. Not yet a sponsor. We just love them.
No, but considering how much money I throw their way, they ought to be.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jet Pens it's also a really good place to look for a wide variety of things that could possibly have solved this problem. I picked a few that were on Amazon, primarily just as sort of a commonality kind of thing, so that most people would be able to get them. And you know, if you have Prime, you order it now. You can have, you know, if you really need it tomorrow, you could have it tomorrow if you do manage to score an Apple Pencil today. So,
awesome.
And it's one of those things where, because I'm a person who knows people who are very serious about their notebooks, these were very easy things for me to come up with, because they were things I already knew about. And then, and I'm sure we'll hear about more as people work on them. There's some other people who do some cool notebook sort of accessories who are, I'm sure, looking at iPads as just another place where they could be staking out that stuff. so for me, it was just sort of an interesting intersection of like, well, why don't you just try this? Like, this is a thing that you stick on a notebook that holds a pen. Would that work for you? And Adam going, wow, that I had no idea. I'm like, yeah, I've had one of these on my wish list forever. So like, yeah, to me, it's a known issue. It was a totally solved problem if I had pulled the trigger on an iPad Pro. So hopefully, this is just one of those times when that intersection maybe comes in handy for someone else. If you have a clever way that you are carrying or would carry your Apple Pencil with your iPad Pro, we totally want to hear about it.
Yes, please. And if someone has made a stylus bandolier, I want to see a photo, please.
I feel like I have to now, just so that you can have one.
You have no idea how happy I would be. and on that note, we are so out of time.
Okay.
So, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Of course. My pleasure.
And, John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
And, no, the pleasure is mine, because you guys are just so much fun. And, listeners, thank you for being here. I always love it that we get to spend this time together every day. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.